From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, exploring the latest on how technology is changing our lives and our society. The more we put a premium on speed in our technology, the faster everything moves. And that means when something goes wrong, it goes really wrong. Exhibit A, yesterday, the New York Stock Exchange, a place that used to be teeming with traders and now sees humans on the floor outnumbered by computer screens in a ratio of what looks to be 5-to-1. The exchange abruptly shut down yesterday and stayed that way for nearly 4 hours. The cause? NYSE officials said it was a computer glitch. Okay, pretty vague. Here's Bernard Donifer from the Department of Statistics and Computer Information Systems at Baruch College.
We understand that there was a software change that didn't work as expected, and they took the precaution of bringing down the system.
What does the change tell us about our growing reliance on computers and high-frequency trading in our markets?
I think the technology infrastructure in the U.S. markets is truly incredible. If you take a look at the number of different players and the amount of computer power, the amount of capacity in terms of networks and communications, we have a truly amazing infrastructure that works very, very well virtually every day of the year. So I don't really think that's anything anybody should be worrying about.
Bernard Donifer at Baruch College. The New York Stock Exchange shutdown came at an interesting moment, a sell-off in U.S. stocks that was part of a reaction to stock markets in China doing a bit of a swan dive. It's fair to say that company stocks there have been in bubble-bursting mode this week. That includes a long list of new tech companies and startups that are traded in the Shenzhen exchange. Shenzhen is home to a lot of tech manufacturing, but also a lot of tech investment euphoria in recent months. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial, and he joins me to talk about this. Hello, Chris. Thanks for chatting.
Hi, Ben. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about the first half of the year. What was driving such growth in China's tech sector?
Among other things, an absolute boom in the stock market. There were dozens of IPOs, billions of dollars invested in the market, and a great deal of enthusiasm.
Is it fair to say that the government helped to stoke some of that euphoria?
It's absolutely fair to say. The stock market boom looked like a terrific way of paying off debt by issuing new shares. If you read the state newspapers, there were constant editorials about how the stock market boom was another part of China's transition to a consumer-driven economy and a way of sharing the wealth with the Chinese people.
Are tech companies in China faring any better or worse than the rest of the market right now?
They are faring worse. You go to Shenzhen in the south. This is the booming new center of commerce in China. Primarily, these companies are smaller, they're entrepreneurial, and it's where the center of the euphoria was.
What kind of impact is this going to have on Shenzhen, the place, and the companies that are built there, and the larger national tech industry in general? And I say national because I wonder if the government is going to end up owning a lot of these companies.
Ultimately, I think they may step in and start buying shares, just as the old mainstream companies, the steel makers and the car makers, are government-owned enterprises. So too, the tech companies may become government-owned enterprises. It is one of the fundamental differences between China and the U.S., for example. They don't have this reverence of private markets that we have. And if they need to stabilize, I suspect they will start buying.
Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you.
One of the biggest problems with wearable tech products is that, generally speaking, most of us still question why we need them. But the other day, I tried something I might actually want. They're called HearBuds. They're tiny wireless microphone/speakers made by a company called Doppler Labs. They're supposed to cost $250 when they come out later this year. What do they do? In part, they filter out sounds or augment the sounds coming in by adding effects like echoey reverb. I visited Doppler Labs, which just got another $17 million in venture capital funding this week, and popped in a demo pair of earbuds, started chatting with the company's CEO. Noah Kraft, CEO and co-founder of Doppler Labs, thanks for chatting with me.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
We're sitting here in an office that is, it's at the intersection of Houston and Broadway.
Yeah.
So can you go through like the traffic reduction function of the earbuds?
Say we're hearing a bus right now.
So you're opening up the app. I hear traffic and trucks driving outside of the office. Oh, there's a horn.
But then when you go into city mode, what you can do is if you hit reduce traffic, right?
So it just, the traffic kind of disappeared from what I hear.
Again, this is an early algorithm. It'll get, we have 6 months to perfect it, but that is the purpose.
Tell me about the technology that's actually in the earbuds.
There's a battery, a DSP processor. There's four mics.
DSP processor. What does that mean?
Digital signal processor. Basically, it takes in the audio, captures it, replays the audio you want to hear back while adding the anti-noise where you want. So it's basically an algorithmic function that creates, based on the parameters you set on your phone, the perfect EQ that you've set for yourself. And I want to be clear, we're acutely aware that audio augmentation is not something that's going to speak to everyone, and we're very aware of that. But
do you want everybody wearing them eventually?
Eventually, yes. But we of course, account for that and think that we will add more, you know. Our stated mission as a company is to put a computer speaker and mic in everyone's ear.
Is there a branding challenge there too in terms of like people wearing things in their ears that aren't necessarily immediately visible and people cutting themselves off?
It's a great question because we are trying to push. Right now it's not acceptable to wear a headphone in a stadium. We want it to be acceptable to wear an earbud. And that's part of the reason, as you're very acutely aware, I'm very conscious of making sure we put this out there in a way that is differentiated, even if it means we're going to get less customers. It means the customers who are using this are really embracing it.
Noah Kraft, thank you very much.
Thank you. Really nice talking to you.
If you want to take a look at these things, head to facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.